And our guest is John Klychek. He's the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. We're talking about schools, and the thing that I have noticed is that children don't know how to write anymore. We did a lot of writing when I was going to school. We had to do reports. We had to do essays. We had to do all kinds of we did a lot of input, and we had to learn how to write, and we learned the exercises that showed us how to do cursive. It was just very very interesting. But now children are not even being taught how to write cursive.
Yeah, that, you know, that kind of touches on, you know, some of the solutions that I had come up with. I mean, I had a 5-point plan. Some of it has to do with governance. Some of it has to do with methodology. Some of it has to do with digital privacy. But then other parts had to do with, you know, basically the philosophy of education. And I wanted to, you know, my solution was, you know, could go back to a classical method, a classical education. You know, what's sometimes called the trivium, so grammar, logic, and then rhetoric. And, you know, in the trivium, grammar is broken into special grammar and general grammar. So special grammar is basically what we might today call linguistics. Back then they would have called it philology, but it basically just means the alphabets and the sentence structure that you use for a specific language. So it's language specific. But then the general grammar has to do with the vocabulary of any given subject that you're going to study. So that's subject specific. So, you know, the general grammar for, you know, geography has a general grammar. That would be the land masses and things like that. You know, mathematics has its own, you know, arithmetic has its own general grammar. That would be the numbers, you know, and then difference between a sum and a product and things like that. And that is the same, that those refer to objective things in reality regardless of what language you're using. The symbols in the language might change, but they refer to the same thing. Now, you know, what I just said probably sounds super formal. People probably just, you know, most people probably think grammar is just, you know, subject-verb agreement and stuff like that. But, you know, it's the ability, grammar in the old classical method is the ability to name the categories of the mind and the categories of reality. And then logic is the part where you put that grammar together in ways that don't contradict. Rhetoric is where you can express it in ways that don't contradict. And since, like George Orwell said, thinking is basically language, you have to basically dialogue with yourself. You know, rhetoric is also a process by which you weed out the contradictions in your own thoughts. So that's the way that you self-learn. It's also the way that you weed out contradictions in corporations and government. And this is the ability, right? We call this truth. We call this truth in the classical method. But in the postmodern world, the deconstructionists basically say that, you know, the grammar, everything is relative, basically, including grammar. So they actually don't spend time teaching grammar. They call it skill and drill. You might get a little bit of special grammar early on, but if you don't pick it up by third or fourth grade, they do what's called whole language learning. And basically they stop diagramming sentences. And so that's why, you know, when I teach at the community college level, I get people, many people, that come in that really need that special grammar training. But they, pedagogically, the staff, the department, they frown on it. They
right.
Don't waste your time with that. Yeah.
But I think that's really important. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and there is data that shows, because I would try to sneak it in, and there's data that shows that, you know, once the student's thinking has already been, so, you know, another thing that makes a good writer is, you know, what they might call code switching. So being able to change from your speaking language to your written language. And my written language sounds a lot less casual than this. It might be a little dense. So there's the other part. If you don't develop that metacognition, so that the introspection to be able to look in and say, okay, I'm in a different situation, or I'm in a different audience, I need to speak there, or I need to structure my ideas differently, or I'm on paper, so I need to do so. They say that, you know, if you lose that, or if you don't gain that code switching ability, that all that special grammar, the skill and drill, actually doesn't equate to when they try to write, because when they write, they revert to how they think, and that's already garbled from years of not giving them the proper training to begin with. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go back and do that, because I've worked with a lot of international students, and one of my best friends in college was from Nepal, and so, you know, he would always, I mean, like, just always pick my brain about grammar. And in a lot of ways, you know, I could tell him, like you know, what's, you know, like I could tell him, well, it's this, we would say it like this, but he could tell me the grammar rules better, and he could diagram sentence, and, you know, so it's, what I'm saying is that he's an adult, he was in his 30s as well, you know, that means that you can actually learn special grammar with it. So there's, you know, that's, they want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And, you know, that's, no, that, I think it, because it largely fits into their larger philosophical paradigm, which, you know, we might call deconstructionism. It's rabid skepticism, basically, but it branches out of rabid induction, rabid empiricism, which is, you know, basically the Fauci method of, right, you know, our data says so, you know, right. Even though your data is always incomplete. So you're always, you know, they always want to operate outside of what their data can actually say, and this is where you get into what's called skepticism, right? So if we say the truth is basically, you know, when the words we use in our mind and in our mouth don't contradict with how we act and what's objective in reality, you know, the empiricists, you know, would go, you know, beyond their models to say, you know, to even say that, well, the categories of the mind and the categories of reality don't have to correspond, and certainly the categories of your mind don't have to fit to the categories of reality. We can change reality to fit the categories of our mind and the categories of our model, because we're the authorities, and that's
right.
That's the larger paradigm.
Right. We do have a caller. We have Brian in Washington. Why don't we take Brian? Brian?
Hello. I would like to ask your guest what he knows about the word communitarianism.
So you know, it's very much along the lines, I would call it a branch of, you know, socialism or communism. It fits into Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030. That type of stuff, and it's the idea, and public-private partnerships fit very much into it, and it's kind of what we're seeing, you know, with the COVID stuff. It's that your individual rights have to be subordinated to the community, but what is the community? The community is the public-private partnerships, and then you have the authorities of the governments and the businesses that are at the top of that. Rosa Quarry, who writes a brilliant work on, I think it's Behind the Green Mask, on that, she can do it, she can explain it much better than I, but I think that's the gist of it.
Okay, so very good. I, you know, follow this thing in the Pacific Northwest. There was a summit about trying to stop the 5G in Vancouver, and I noticed that Dr. Patrick Wood was given a opportunity to attend, and he talks a lot about technocracy. But that was my question to these people. How come the other side of this discussion, that being the communitarian aspect, is always superseded by technocracy? I saw that was mentioned in your book, and at your age, I would love to see you look into it a little further, and definitely don't use Rosa Quarry as your source of information. I believe her to be controlled, but, you know, we're going to put some links in the chat, and we'd love to have Deanna have you back on in a week or two. And at your age, you could write another book giving this a fair amount of your time. That would be my encouragement. The reason why this has been really important, I mean, Deanna has had Lark on several times. He's called a dozen times into her show. She has given Lark a lot of airtime, but what is going on right now is the governor of California is using the word community spirit. In other words, this virus has to do with, you know, the responsibility to the community that you obey these rules. So that's one aspect of it. But Amitai Etzioni is recently interviewed, and he is saying, yeah, we take the lessons we learned in Israel on how to deal with terrorists, and we can apply it to this virus. He's an advisor to every president since Carter. So this Professor Amitai Etzioni is no small entity. And his son is Oren Etzioni in Seattle, who is high-level instigator of all of this smart driving cars.
And
all the five. So I'm really interested, you know, that I get that across. And you're, like I said, your guest could look into it and maybe come back on the show and say, holy crap. Because, you know, there is a concerted effort to quell this subject. If Breiser, who broadcasts out of Ireland every week, and he keeps bringing up the word, and he is discouraged. And there was a Irish woman, her name is Fiona Marie Flanagan, and initially she was buddying up with him a month ago and using the, no, it's communitarianism. But then 2 weeks ago, it became communitarian / communism, and now it's communism. So somebody got to her. You got a couple of nice children. Do you want them to have a mother? Well, I guess she decided they do. So that, I don't want to take up all your time. I'm sure you got other calls.
John, what's your response?
Well, thank you for that. I mean, so to tell you the truth, you know, the reason why I brought her up was because I listened to her on, she popped up on my feed a few times recently, and I just noticed, seeing the book, it sounds like you've read it or you've looked at it. I didn't, you know, I largely looked at, you know, technocracy, right? And to me, you know, I also looked at the Hegelian dialectic. Right. And so, you know, I call it communism sometimes, but certainly I think I lean more towards calling it, you know, corporate fascism. I didn't look at this, all the sustainability stuff and all, but the communitarian part, you know, going back to what I just said about, you know, the manipulation of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, I do think that these words can be switched around quite a bit. I'm totally happy to look into more of what you're talking about. Just to kind of lend some credence to what you're saying, I'll say that, you know, in education, if I'm trying to persuade people in the system to try to, you know, buck back against this and maybe, you know, stand up for our rights, it helps to use the grammar that is more persuasive to, I guess, a lot of people that I guess we would call left of persuasion. And so, you know, I largely felt like I would get more people in academia to hear the message, but I'm not at all averse to using that word or to looking into it more and to incorporating it into more of my analysis. Yeah.
Good on you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, Deanna.
And I'll definitely check it out. Yep.
Good, good.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Bye now.
Okay, good call from Brian, and yes, that is really something that he brought that up, that we need to band together as communities, and everything that communitarianism has been doing for a number of years is trying to get people into banding together and to accepting things that they wouldn't ordinarily accept without some sort of a traumatic event, which, of course, we have. And I just never, I've been thinking so much about vaccines, the Gates vaccine, and we've been thinking so much about Bill Gates and what he's trying to do. We're thinking of this really, really big picture, when in fact it might be the little picture that we need to be looking at and evaluating that.
Yeah, and to build, just to go back to what you said a little bit more, you know, I mean, because it does build on what I had said right before I came on, which is, you know, the the weaponization of language, or the confusion of the ability to use language and the ability to think and speak. And I'll throw this out there. Charlotte Iserby, she sent me an email today, saying, watch out for community-oriented policing system, which would be definitely under the communitarian branch. And she's saying it. Why? Because probably, her research is saying that what's going to be, we're looking at the riots right now, from the horrible, situation that happened. And, she's looking at it as that the solution will be community-oriented police. Like, so it'll sound like the people are going to be able to have more access to review when this stuff happens, right? That it'll be more public, that they'll have direct access to oversight of when something like this happens, and they'll be able to, weed these types of officers out faster and things like that. But what my research shows, and this goes back to why I mentioned I like to, especially when I'm talking to people of a left persuasion, because it is also it's a public-private partnership. It involves public-private partnerships, which means, there's going to be some private companies in there. And I think one of the ways that you can get people left of persuasion to realize that something's bad, like if you call it communitarianism, they'll just emotionally have an attachment to it. But if you show them that, look, dude, like you guys are all about anti-corporation or corporatism, this is corporatism under the, called communitarianism. It's communo-fascist. And so that's that. That's why I would use that term sometimes. But at the same time, you need to be able to see through that word as well, right? You need to be able to see, not just, kind of look at the other side, but you need to be able to see through the wordplay,
Right. And there is a lot of that. Of course, there's a lot of that. you have been doing a lot of, discussing emergency COVID-19 deregulations and restructuring, and that's what we've been talking about. And all of this restructuring could not have occurred without this big event. And yet when we talk about the the actual virus itself, if you have a cold is a coronavirus. And so people just accepted this word, and they've blown it up. As I said, I haven't watched TV, but I do know that they've made it into this very serious situation where people are wearing masks and all kinds of it. And I see people driving by themselves in their car with a mask on, and I think that these people are nuts. They're absolutely nuts. It just shows you how gullible and naive people are, that they're not doing some studying, that they get all of their information from the TV. And if you go back, I'm not sure what year they did this. They wanted to make sure that everybody had a specific type of television. When you're watching TV, I know this sounds conspiratorial, but who's watching you? Go ahead.
No, you're talking about the smart. I thought you were talking about the Hertz waves, the frequency rate at which the flicker.
Either
rate,
way.
Both, right? I mean, both together. With the wordplay stuff, it goes back to, confusing. There are many contradictions in how they report these numbers, everything from, death with to death from, meaning did you get the acute respiratory system or failure or some other complication, what types of coronavirus did you get tested for? Did you actually get diagnosed? Was it telehealth? Did they do a test? Was the test contaminated?
And how quickly did they develop this test? It's ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. Alrighty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break, and we are accepting phone calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. I just love that song. It's just a really wonderful song. It was donated to me by a wonderful listener, and it's just I just love that music, the song, the words, the thoughts. Alrighty, our guest is John Klychek. He is the author of School World Order: The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. His website is schoolworldorder.info, and we do have another caller. Chris, near Las Vegas. Chris, welcome.
Well, thank you so very much, Deanna, and thanks for having Don on. He's a wonderful guest with great knowledge, and I really appreciate some of the areas he specializes in. He had made some mention of mental ill health earlier, and with his comments on grammar, logic, and the other aspect he spoke of, I have to point out that the word term mental is under the doctrine of void for vagues. It's arbitrary and capricious and very dangerously malleable to mean anything they want it to mean, much like the DSM, the Diagnostic Symptoms Manual for all of the psychiatric and so-called mental health trades. Most of the words are vague and ambiguous in there and have no defined meaning with which you can make any sense of anything in there at all. As to what it is, it's whatever they want to mean when they're trying to apply it to you and you got to be able to nail them down on the specificity lack that has in order to defeat their allegations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what version they're on now, but that kind of lends some credence right away to, you know, the non-standardization. But the other part is that, it basically comes out of the eugenics as well, right? And so, you know, some of it they might, you know, link to these algorithms or your DNA or other things. But, you know, I think at one point, like you mentioned, the oppositional defiant disorder? I believe at one point they said it was like if you were questioning the government or something like that, that could be a symptom of that. And, yeah, and then you only need to check off certain boxes. You know, you don't have to, you know, they'll have a wide range of symptoms. And, you know, some of them, you know, if we might look at them in terms of like values dispositions as opposed to, you know, some sort of neurological or other, you know, brain disorder, you know, something that you might be able to demonstrate with biological or physical health. I mean, we might think of these as just, you know, disagreeing with the weird paradigm that we live in.
And that's really true. Yeah, what you bring up is really true. I think they're on the fifth DSM now. So if we're skeptical about what's going on, if we're skeptical about what the government is saying, then obviously we have a mental disease that we need to be treated for. And when you look at the numbers of people who are on psychiatric drugs, and I really don't like psychiatric drugs, I think that, well, I don't like prescription drugs to begin with for a number of reasons. All of them have side effects. And but they really want to get more people on psychiatric drugs. Now, I say they might be beneficial in some cases, but when you look at the numbers, you have to really question this, particularly children who are on Ritalin. Because they're, what are they? they're disruptive in class, and usually it's boys. But boys don't like to sit still. That's because they're boys, and children need recess. They need time to run around. They need they need to be active, and when you're sitting them in a classroom and droning on and on, it's they're going to get disruptive. So you bring up a good point.
They even have digital prescriptions now as well. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Oh yeah.
What I was going to suggest is, of course, we know that most of the suicidal psychotropic so-called specialty drugs are crafted particularly, and they're fundamentally based upon methamphetamine sulfate, what we know as speed. And so finding that they have deleterious and dangerous side effects is something that's not unexpected for the somewhat informed. And I think that what we see is the psychiatric trade has been coupled up or at least strongly affected by the legal trade and their twisting of word terms to their own predatory advantage and leaving them vague and nebulously undefined specifically so they can twist them into anything they want. And I don't know, I got a little background, but thanks so much, and I appreciate your guest very much, Dan. You got a great choice there. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chris. That was interesting.
And you know, I'll just add that, you know, so as I mentioned before, you know, if they get the right to give you a vaccine for the sake of public health, then they can also give you any number of mental health treatments, whether digital or otherwise, for the sake of public health. But this also leads towards, you know, the creation of the new human or the new man, meaning transhumanism. So they have the right to do whatever they want with your body as they see for the benefit of the state.
Right. Wow. Okay, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show, Radical Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you and me.
All righty, we are back. And our guest is John Klychek. He is the author of School World Order, The Technocratic Globalization of Corporatized Education. Love that title. It says so much. The website is schoolworldorder.info. And we are taking phone calls at 800-313-9443. We do have a couple callers. Did you want to respond to anything before we take callers?
No, I think I responded pretty good to the last couple.
Yeah, I think, well, yes, Matt, you did.
All right.
I just don't want to cut your time short.
No.
Okay,
go
great.
Yeah, go with calls, yeah.
Okay, well, let's take Tom in Utah. Tom?
Am I connected?
You're connected. You're well connected.
Okay.
Yep.
Actually, I'm going to put dittos on everything he's been talking about. What's really interesting, of course, my professional education was in the 50s and 60s, but about the mid-70s, we felt I noticed a radical change. And what's interesting in the last half of my professional career, I was, as I would go and I would lecture or present to medical classes through about 32 different universities that I've covered in the last three decades. Sometimes you give the students a fact, you know, reproducible in the laboratory, and their eyes glaze over. I began to realize that they're being educated in a kind of a cubicle type of educational format. You know, you'll go to a specialist. They know a lot about their specialty, but they can't see the continent for the tree. They're so close to their specialty, they can't see outside of it, so they don't understand the total picture. And it makes it easy for them to be manipulated. And the same thing goes for the public. We've been so, dumbed down that we can't see the whole picture when it's given to us. It seems so foreign. And that's what's worried me with these kids. They're not learning how to write. You were talking about that, Deanna. They don't know how to write script or write the cursive. So they don't even think in the constructive mentality that's required for writing. You just hit a button, and that, you know, gives them a letter, and they're on their way. There seems to be a mental process that's required when you're writing things out in cursive writing, and it's sad that I am seeing the kids coming out. They don't even know how to write their name in cursive, so they don't think or don't have the thought processes that were. That cursive actually demanded of you.
The brain connections, the neurons aren't connecting. And we talked earlier too about when you learn something new, your brain is wired. It grows. It makes new connections. What is it called? Anyway, go ahead with what you were saying. But it just creates more diversity in your brain. As I said earlier, you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, yeah, when you're, if I can just jump in, you're penciling, when you're scribing the letter, you're tracing the shape of the letter as you're writing the word, as you're making the sound in your head. And so you're making connections between what that symbol looks like, what it feels like to trace it, and what the actual meaning is associated with it in reality. And, you know, this goes back to the stimulus response stuff. That's, you know, they want to bypass all of that, all those interconnections, and just have John said, you click a button, and then, you know, if you're a good typer, and I'm pretty good, you know, you're not looking at the keys. You know, you're not thinking about what that letter is shaped like or what the vowel sounds are and things like that. And, you know, and as you mentioned, you know, so they don't just compartmentalize how your mind works with relation to the language you use, but they compartmentalize the knowledge itself. And that goes back to the Pavlov's dog. So, you know, that's why they have bells, ring bells in between classes. So you ring the bell, and that tells the students, okay, math is over. Turn that part of your brain off. Now English time has nothing to do with math. Turn that part on. I should add that the trivium used to have a quadrivium, which we basically call it the study of the number. You know, you could call it the classical sciences. So, but they went together. You know, grammar, logic, rhetoric, and then the other four classical liberal arts went together. You know, when I often go and I'll ask people in the department that are experts just to make sure if I'm doing research and I'm reading stuff, like, let me ask a PhD in this, you know, and they'll be like, yes or no. But then, like the gentleman said, if I try to extrapolate out, you know, like connect it to another discipline, they're like, oh, you need to go ask Dr. So-and-so about that. And I recently, somebody tweeted me, and this is what Twitter and social media can be good for, because people send me some good research that wouldn't be on my radar otherwise. He said that he went to the doctor recently, and the doctor basically it sounded like adaptive learning software. He kept apologizing to the gentleman, saying, I'm sorry, I can't finish the diagnosis until I ask you these questions and click these boxes. And so they're basically, they're forcing even doctors to think inside not just these – you know, the stimulus response thing, but, you know, in the actual machine, the stimulus response inside a very narrow algorithm. Yeah.
Okay. What I was trying to remember, Dr. Joe Dispenza says, neurons that fire together, wire together.
Wire, yeah.
I like
so
that.
I knew I... And that's true. And we're not firing together. We're just And Tom, you brought up the holistic. People are specializing, so they're not looking at the human being as a whole person. That one is a expert at one thing, and some you have another expert. When if you fail to look at the whole person, to when you're trying to figure out what's causing their issues, it's just you're leaving so much out. And very few doctors now go into primary care. They want to specialize.
And I think what they want is so that literally, if they get enough, go move a couple generations down when, everybody that learned before these doctors, they also had to do it on these modules. And there is no, elders that can say, yeah, we used to do it a different way without the machine. I mean, it's not so far-fetched to think that, that the doctor won't be able to diagnose without it, or that you won't be able to calm yourself down without your Calm app, because you're so used to, and your dad and your mom and grandma, everybody was so used. That's the only way you know how to pay attention to your biorhythms or whatever, abstract concepts is through the computer, through what the computer tells you about it.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, Tom.
If we can keep you ignorant, we keep you dependent.
Oh, how true.
And scared.
Yes, how true.
And scared, you bet. Anyway, yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tom, for your contribution. Appreciate it. Okay, let's take Mark in Philadelphia. Mark, welcome.
Hello, Deanna. Thank you for receiving my call. Thank you for having your guest. And thank you for doing your part to help, again, challenge us to rearrange the furniture in our brains. On that note, we've been basically the American public for multiple generations have been mesmerized. Call it mass hypnosis. A lot of people are going along to get along because they have to, and they get distracted easily. The people that are behind this, the original Star Trek, I remember Star Trek with Spock, and I remember first coming upon when he would play three-dimensional chess. Well, the evil people that are bringing this to us are playing 10-dimensional chess, and they're hammering us at every level, multiple across the board. This is mesmerization of not only the human mind, but to try to disconnect us from our souls. The part of us, the aspect of our being that connects with real wisdom of the earth, of God, whoever mm-hmm. God is to a person. See? So I'd like to jump forward a little bit because your guest here is a teacher. Let's go to Snoopy. Charlie Brown. Wah 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 wah. Remember that teacher in front?
Yeah. Oh, that was the teacher. I thought that was the mom, but okay.
Yeah, so the teacher.
Okay.
So what's wah? So people are listening to that, and they're not really paying attention. That's what's going on with us right now, Deanna. A lot of people are not paying attention. They're getting diverted, distracted, and hammered in a lot of different ways. This whole coronavirus baloney, we're told, the enemy's China. Oh, no, the enemy's Russia. Oh, no, the enemy's Iran. Well, how about the group of people who have infiltrated our government for over 100 years? Now, they would promote themselves as being good people and trying to do the right thing, including the mayor and the governor, the mayor of Minneapolis and the governor of Minnesota. What group are they connected with? Let's just call them tribal. Okay? Mm-hmm. So back to wah, 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 wah. Let's spell it out. W-A-A-W. We are at war. People need to take this seriously. It's been a subtle war for a long while, and now they want to bring it and put it in our faces. They want to force these vaccinations on us. They want to force our behaviors. They're destroying the heart of the American economic model, the heart of the economy, which is mom and pops. I grew up in southern Missouri. And in a mom and pop restaurant business, and the mom and pops are the heart of the economic engine of this nation. And so what are they doing? They're shutting it down. And what, the corporatists and the banksters? See? So I'll leave you with that. This is mesmerization, and people got to wake up and stop giving in and learn how to say no. If you can't say no and mean it, your yeses don't mean a damn thing. Learn how to practice saying no. Everybody out there listening, just in simple ways, practice saying no. Say no. Call up whoever and just tell them, no, I'm not doing it. Practice it. You know, I'll leave you with that. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Look, there's riots all over the country right now. And so I got to say, you know, you're right. Civil disobedience is correct. Because all the power that they have is, like you said, it's basically, you know, voodoo. It's basically magic. It's basically a bunch of lies that, which is untruth, and untruth doesn't exist. It's not real. So what makes it real is when you participate in it. But, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, Mahatma Gandhi, Jesus Christ, like, think these are the proper examples. Why? John Lennon, right? John Lennon said that, you know, they know how to deal with violence. They got the biggest, baddest machines out there. So, you know, the way to do it is to do stuff like that woman in Texas who basically cut some hair. Like, you know, that's how you civil, you know, like, and, you know, and then they arrested her, and then the judge said, well, I'll let you off if you apologize for cutting your kid's hair. And she said, I ain't apologizing for trying to take care of my kids. Are you crazy? And the people got behind her, and the judge let her off, and there was no riots, and there was no, you know, that's what we need to do, because what it does is it exposes the veneer, it gets rid of the fog of the mesmerization that he talked about, and it exposes them as the aggressors, it exposes them as the tyrants, them as the authoritarians, them as the abusers, oppressors, etc. But the minute we start getting out there and getting all offensive like people are doing, it is only going to, you know, justify them cracking down harder. So cannot do that.
I think talking about the riots, I think that we have to look at the genesis of these riots and maybe compare them to Ferguson and see who initiated these riots. Were they bought and paid for by George Soros? Because he's been known to do that kind of thing before. And then when you look at I saw a video this morning, or just a part of one, where they had broken into a big mall, an expensive mall, and were ransacking a lot of the stores. What is going on provides the lawless to do unlawful things, but it also sets up a situation where you can have a creative mob that serves a purpose. That because when you have a chaos, when you have a crisis, a chaos, that means you're going to give the police more power to come in and break that up. And so you have to question what you're seeing and figuring it out and evaluating to see, gosh, what is behind this?
Yeah, and there's been
who
reports,
arranged this? Go ahead.
And there's been reports that a lot of the agitators and skaters have been from out of state.
All right, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, let me just be clear. You know, by the way, you know, I've practiced martial arts for 20 years, all right? You know, I'm a stand-up fighter. I've done some amateur MMA and stuff. Not the best at choking people out, but I saw that. And when a guy is cuffed and he's on his chest, you got your knee on his – first of all, he's subdued. You don't need to have your knee on his neck. But the second part is when you're on him for 9 minutes, I mean, like, that's – so for the people that are angry and, you know, don't think that I'm, like – trying to say that justify that, but what you're doing right now is going to enable those types of cops to come out and, you know, people saw, you know, when the lockdown was happening and people were going out and arresting, you know, moms that had their kids at the park. I mean, you know, people were like, what? You know, I mean, like,
oh my gosh.
But
yes.
when you guys are burning stuff, stores down that had nothing to do with it, guess what? Now it looks like the police are, you know, doing what they need to be doing. Regardless, and you know, at this point, you know, when they get rough, what are you going to say? Because you were burning stuff down. So this goes back to having an equal measure. You know, the grammar, logic, rhetoric. Part of this whole concept of logic is that truth is non-contradictory, which means you should have an even measure. We used to call it the golden rule. So if it was wrong for that guy to use excessive force on George
yes.
Floyd, then it's wrong for you to use excessive force on other people's property, especially people who didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, do unto others, right. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
All righty, welcome back. I think that last commercial is my favorite. He's talking about, John is talking about guns and things, and then he, at the end, he says, shoot him an email. I think that is so clever. I don't know if he did that on purpose or what. The other thing, too, that this whole COVID-19 has done, it has introduced the idea of scarcity. And when people fear that they're not going to be able to get whatever it is, toilet paper or whatever it is, they're going to feel some anxiety. and which will also make them very vulnerable to be obedient, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you're seeing, I mean, you know, you're seeing that a lot. You know, one of the other prongs we might say that, you know, I said there's several people that can capitalize on this, and you see, you know, the food industry, you know, and this big push for veganism and things like that now that, right, we have this big meat shortage. But in general, you know, the first time I walked into the store and saw, you know, basically empty shelves, you know, when there's no food, that's part of what the CARES Act money, by the way, I should mention that. You know, so I mentioned, you know, you're locked down and you're forced to take this money to keep your business open. Well, you know, a lot of, you know, that money comes with strings attached as well. So when you shut down the economy and you shut down the business, there's no way to get your own money. So they're going to give you money now. And when they give you money, that's going to come with strings attached where you have to push their agenda, right? And so in education, it goes back to all the stuff I talked about. There's a nice article. It's by Naomi Klein. It's Green New Deal. You know, I don't agree with what she says about how to handle the contact tracing. She seems to be a true believer in, let's just call it the hype. Let's just call it the hype of COVID. But I mean, her breakdown of this Green New Deal instead of the Green New Deal is all about, you know, all this ed tech stuff. But it's, you know, it's across the board, and you know, I should just add it in there. So Governor Cuomo wants to build back better, and he's got a little project called Reimagine Education and partners with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's got Google's Eric Schmidt on the board. You know, and if you want to, if you got one idea what they're going to do, you just take a look at my website, schoolworldorder.info. There's 66 grants in the online bibliography from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that show he's financed everything from the corporate charter schools to the cradle to career workforce training to the public private P20 councils to the adaptive learning software. So, you know, yeah, when they give you that grant, that CARES grant money, you know, and you're starved out, you don't have, you can't get your own money, you can't, that's, you're going to have to use it for the adaptive or at least some form of virtual learning. And I should just throw this out there too. If you're a teacher, you're on a board or something, one of the ways you can push back on this is, you know, because look, my schools, they're not letting us back till the end of the year. It's just not happening. So what I'm trying to do is convince people that if we're going to pay out money to increase the online infrastructure, it should just be a virtual classroom that's synchronous. That means basically everybody logs in at the same time, and it's the same thing as being in a classroom, except instead of seeing each other in the same room, you're just looking through a screen. There's no data mining software that keeps a bunch of data from your students and you know, uses it to improve their products. There's no automation that's going to kick you out. And I'm sorry, I just ranted to the end of the show, Deanna. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. You know, this just indicates we need to have you back.
Well, that would be nice. I would really like that.
Okay, so would I. Thank you so much for being on the program today. And thank you, listeners. Thank you so much. And we'll talk with you. Actually, next week, I have a guest host. Anyway, I'll talk to you soon. Have a beautiful rest of the weekend. Bye-bye now.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly.
Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.